into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Okay, we're discussing Rob Kearney's new autobiography, No Hiding. We have drafted in to verify a few other facts within this book. Brian O'Driscoll, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Very well. How many stars out of five are you giving Rob Kearney, No Hiding?
Well, I haven't got my free copy yet, so it's in the post, I presume, Robert, is it? Signed copy, I hope.
I've only received them this morning, so...
Signed copy, Billy and Sadie O'Driscoll would be magnificent. One for the ages.
And Amy would like one too.
I have to be careful. I have to troll through the index to make sure that I can actually, you know, verify its quality in case I get bagged.
Well, we're coming to that.
No,
we're coming to that.
Get away safe, right?
We are coming to that. Hello.
Okay, good.
You two are firm friends. When did that about happen in your world, Brian?
Pretty early on when he came in. I think I was in the same boat as Rob was coming in, quite young, 19, 20 years. He was even 18, straight out of school. And, you know, he was pretty mature for the most part, you know, comparatively to other guys coming out of school. And he fit in very easy, didn't stand out. You know, he was obviously a great talent immediately, but, you know, I think his immediate sneeriness was an endearing attribute to being involved in a team environment. And you just, you know, he was good crack and good fun. So I think he became kind of a part of the setup pretty well early on, although... He might have a different take on things.
He does have a different take on things.
Right, okay, let's hear it.
Rob?
Is that cue to me?
I think so. I mean, I can read out the quotes, but I got the distinct impression several times over in this book, you felt it wasn't that welcoming an environment. The word click is used quite a lot, and as a young lad, you know, quite often no interaction, no hellos. I'm not so sure you felt you were welcomed with open arms initially.
Yeah, like I say, I think the environment back then was very different to what it is now in terms of how inclusive it is. You know, I do talk a lot about in the book how I felt it difficult to settle into the squad from an early age, and I put a lot of it back on myself. I think Brian has probably been a little bit too kind to me there, that, you know, I came out of school and I very much thought that if I want to be playing with these guys, I need to act like them. And, you know, there was probably an element of a little bit more humility that I could have brought into the setup when I was coming in. You know, I speak about in the book, and Brian always reminds me about it, that my very first pair of Adidas boots, I put a big Orr Kearney written on the front of it. At 19 years of age, and I just thought that was, I'm a professional rugby player now, I can do what Brian and Gordon do with their boots, and when in fact it was the complete opposite. And what the older guys would have liked to see was just a young guy coming in, put his head down, work away hard. That is definitely an element of the environment that I think I got wrong.
And to be fair, you do say that. You say, part of what I sensed to be a Cold War may have been down to me. I was no doubt giving off a vibe that I thought I was the new good thing. If there was a bit of cockiness about me, though, that was how I thought I was expected to act around those guys. I thought they wanted cocksure swagger. I accept that now.
Yeah, I do accept that now. And, you know, when you only accept it when you're a little bit older. When I'm looking at the younger guys now, the guys that you want to see coming into the environment are the humble lads. They're quiet, they put their head down, they work hard, they don't put any noses out of joint, and they just sort of wait their time a little bit before they can appreciate the successes of professional rugby. And you know, I do also say that if someone had to come up to me and put an arm around me and said, listen, that's not the way to act here, maybe do this, this, and this, that I would have taken it on board. It was very much, I acted that way because I felt that this is what the other lads will want to see from me, someone who who feels as if he belongs here and wants to act in that sort of manner.
That tally with your memory, Brian?
I've obviously taken a few knocks over the years, so I'm trying to rewrite history here. I remember the Ora Carney, and I remember it getting taped up after a while. Right. Was it after a game that didn't go great for Rob early on, and I think that the penny kind of dropped of that maybe that stuff was being frowned upon. Maybe it was a time where you kind of have to earn respect, and maybe it was a little bit more difficult to break in than you know, I give ourselves credit for. I guess when I came into the environment in 99, you really had to, you just put up and shut up and you earned your credibility from the way you played. And I think you earned respect, and sometimes it came quickly and sometimes it took a bit longer for others. Mm. So I suppose you kind of consider things the same ways when, you know, you become a senior player. And I wasn't, what am I, 6 years, 7 years older than Robert. So I was still in my mid-20s when he came into the setup. Yeah, I had a lot of experience. I would have hoped that perhaps we were a little bit more welcoming than he'd suggest there. But there was it was a balance between, you know, having that right to earn your respect, but also trying to get the most out of those young guys, because Lukey came through the scene, you know, soon afterwards, and he obviously had a lot of confidence. And I agree with Rob regarding young lads coming in. You want them to just go about their business quietly, and when there's someone that's kind of stands out personality wise and is a bit, you know, cock of the walk, they have to deliver on the pitch. You can't have one without the other. And if you're cock of the walk, you know, around the place, but then not managing to match it on the pitch, I think it's harder to integrate yourself into the environment. And I can think of other examples, not so much Robert in that regard, but I could definitely think of other examples over the course of the last 10 or 15 years that you kind of eyeball guy and thought, you know, you might want to just knuckle down a little bit, keep the head down and graft a little bit more.
Mm. Robert, who calls you Robert? Brian and your mum, is that about it?
Brian, my mother, and Leo Cullen.
Okay.
Three people.
The Holy Trinity.
The Golden Triangle.
You do say, by the way, Robert, the way it is now, it's mad how it changes, that even Leo Cullen is, you know, that a current philosophy is younger players go to the back of the bus, you know? Once upon a time, it's the established players and they kind of rule the back of the bus. Now it's a more integrated thing. It's quite a conscious thing. That's the makeup of the dressing room these days.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's a conscious type of environment that they're trying to create, that the older lads are, you know, maybe been pushed aside a little bit earlier to allow these younger lads to get in, to get their confidence up, to make them feel really a part of the organization. And, you know, like Brian says, there was that old school effect, particularly with Michael Checa, who was the coach at the time, who, you know, you really had to earn your stripes under him. It is the complete opposite now when I look at that Leinster changing room. So I've been lucky enough to get the brunt of the stick on the way in and the way out.
Does that irritate you, Rob?
No, it doesn't irritate me, no, because, you know, I think the environment and the club has seen the benefits of it. But when you're going through those years, and, you know, when I was early on and taking all that shit that I did from Jekka down through the years, you're sort of relying on thinking, okay, just suck it up now. When you get to the end of your career, you'll be treated like Brian, Shane, and Dennis have been. And then you do get to the end of your career, and it's the complete opposite way. It's not irritating. It's just, oh, it probably is a little bit irritating.
You had interesting timing, Rob.
Finally, some honesty.
Interesting timing. No. Yeah.
You, Brian, you've often mentioned way to matches, headphones galore. You and Rob sit together and chew the fat. That was kind of a big part of your pre-match ritual together.
Yeah, it would have been. You know, when I started out, there weren't many people listening to music, kind of staying focused in their own worlds. It was a bit more conversational. And then as time went on, you know, earphones and headphones and individual focus became way more of a thing. But, you know, when you're not used to that, I was like, God, I can't all of a sudden revert to that type. I have to, you know, I want to be able to continue doing what's comfortable to me. So I used to always try and, you know, be it with Raj sometimes at international and then with Robert at Leinster games, you know, when he moved down to the back of the bus after about 3 weeks. He was there, you know, we just used to have a bit of a laugh and try and relax. And I think he was able to do things the same way. I picked wisely in that if he had been someone that really was playing the game over in his head beforehand, I'd have left him be. But I knew that he was capable of having a bit of a laugh, you know, just talking about non-rugby related stuff, just looking out the window and, you know, taking the mickey out of one another. And then he was also able to just dial in when he got to the ground as was, you know, as my way of kind of dealing with the pressures of whatever Leinster or Ireland game was coming. So, I think it was something that probably suited us both. And I don't know what happened in the last 6 years, whether he went back to the earphones, when I retired or whether he found someone to chew the ears off himself.
Yeah, I'll always remember after you went. I never found a chatting buddy at the back of the bus, and I always found the journeys really difficult because I wasn't a music sort of man. I relied on the noise, the sirens of the police escort, of the people cheering. That was sort of stuff that really fueled me before games. And you know, I do remember early on in my career potentially going down the route of putting in music and putting my earphones in and getting a little tap from my buddy beside me, being like, no music for you, you're chatting to me. So I think that probably had an effect on me for the remainder of my game preparation.
It turned out okay, didn't it, for you?
Yeah, we got on all right.
Got a few good stories out of me in those bus journeys. You feel you have a vulnerability to you then.
And you out of me. I'll never forget one story we had in New Zealand a long, long time ago where I was getting some very good advice off you.
Didn't make the book.
No, it didn't make the book, but it can make the interview now if you wanted to, Rob.
We won't go too far into the detail of it, but some girl issues, and Brian helped me out very kindly.
All right, okay. Say no more. How has the friendship survived Brian O'Driscoll turning pundit?
It survived really well. I know it was something that Brian was always conscious of down through the years, sort of trying to maintain the relationship that we had. But he was also very aware that he was now in a new job, and part of his job was having to give his honest opinion. And, you know, there was many times down through the years that I came out the wrong side of his honest opinion, but it was never done in a scathing sort of way. And, you know, I appreciated that at the time, and I still do now, because, you know, if we've been honest about it, it only takes your friend / pundit to say one thing wrong for that relationship to be compromised a little bit. And thankfully, you know, he's had his opinions, and sometimes, like I say, that they didn't look too favorably on me, but they were never done in a malicious or a scathing sort of way.
Okay. What's your perspective on that, Brian? I'm always conscious anytime we're talking, particularly with a Rob Kearney or a Johnny Sexton now, it's there's a complicated layer over those answers. And you've said things, and I've even thought, ooh, he wouldn't have liked saying that.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. It's tricky because it is. It's trying to maintain a friendship, but also not being disingenuous to your new job and not mincing your words. I think I probably learned in later years that there's lots of ways to skin a cat, and to, you know, your terminology and your phraseology gets a little bit better and a little bit less blunt. But I find it, and it continues to be hard with Johnny. There's not many guys that I feel that I really, you know, I feel a protection towards, largely because you've soldiered with them and you know what they're capable of and you want them to do well, but you've got a personal relationship with them. So it was, you know, I remember distinctly a point, it was question marks about Rob in the 15 jersey, and it was just before, I think, Chicago, the All Black game, and it was put to me by Jur on Off the Ball, who's your back three? And it was the first time that I chose a back three without Rob. And I found that incredibly difficult, and I thought, that's not going to go down well. And it obviously, there's not coincidence, but it's just coincided with probably the best year and a half of his rugby playing career. From the second I finished the sentence, he was just absolutely brilliant for Ireland and for Leinster. And sometimes just shows you don't know, and you get it wrong. But I did feel every time I was talking about him that I needed to be a little bit protective and mindful that, you know, when we are finished, that we do have a relationship and that we can go and play golf and can go and have beers and talk about the times before I became a pundit and great memories. Obviously not the first couple of years that he's just detailed, but thereafter, once he got into his groove and he was accepted by the Golden Triangle, after that, you know, we had some phenomenal days, and I think it's important to try and hold on to those relationships because it takes a long time to build them, and sometimes it doesn't take a long time to cut them short, cut off the blood supply.
I can imagine. I mean, Rob, you would have been aware of the criticism. We've already discussed what Joe Schmidt said to you in advance of that game in Chicago. Would you have been aware, for instance, in your bubble that Brian might have not had you in his back three publicly around that time?
Yeah, you would have been aware of it, and, you know, certainly he wasn't alone in terms of his thinking at that period, that I would not have featured in a lot of people's back three. But I could get a sense when he was talking that he was choosing his words very carefully, and he wanted to make sure that he was saying the right thing, and he was being really measured with them. So, you know, you sort of step back a little bit and you say, okay, well, if he's putting this much emphasis on how he wants to say things, he obviously still cares about the relationship. And you give someone a positive in terms of that they're going out of their way to make sure that what they're saying is very measured and the right type of thing, that you sort of, you give them, you know, not a pass, but you give them an element of kudos that you know that the relationship is something that's important to them.
Mm. Brian, I'll give you a final word then. We've been chatting with Rob here for well over the guts of an hour. Ireland's most decorated player, that's some achievement for the guy who had RK patched on his boots early doors.
Who'd have thought back in 2007? Was that seven? Listen, once he broke into the Leinster team, first of all, and then subsequently the Ireland team, you know, there was no looking back. And even through some wobbles along the way, I think it's testament to him about being able to up your performance at times when there's most scrutiny and there's most eyeballs and there's most knives being sharpened. So to stay in that 15 jersey, and now we talk about the uncertainty around it, and sometimes it is true, they don't miss you until you're gone. And there's definitely an element of that, you know, has crept in the last, you know, year, where some of the things we've taken for granted in our fullback jersey with Leinster and Ireland have been our shortcomings. But he's been there for all of Ireland's big days, all of Leinster's big days for the most part. I know that 2012 Heineken Cup was really important to him, having missed out the year before and then been on the bench for the final in 2009. So to get to actually share one of those Heineken Cup finals as well with them, and for him to be the player of the year, European player of the year that year as well. Like, just incredibly consistent. Two Grand Slams, the best part of a decade apart. So, an incredible contribution to Irish rugby, and a little bit still to come to world rugby. Isn't that right, Robert?
Potentially. I wouldn't hold your breath, though.
Well, that's a good note to leave it on. Brian, thanks for dropping in. Robert Kearney, thanks very much. The book is no hiding. Best of luck with it, and obviously best of luck in Australia over the coming season. Thanks so much, fellas. We'll leave it there. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Well done, Robert.
Thanks a lot, lads. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks for
rugby on off the ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.